Welcome back, murder friends, to
Under the Influence of True Crime. That's Kate, and she's telling our story.
And that's Em, and they're under the influence.
So, thanks for letting us meet this last week. It was Kate's birthday.
And it was wonderful.
I made her cry with my present, which is always my goal, giving people presents.
Yes, and we'll post either a photo or like on our story or something. Not sure yet, because it's incredible, but none of you guys will understand how incredible it is.
No one's going to understand what it is, but we're still going to post it. It was from this really incredible artist.
Yes, because I wanted to shout her out because it's literally incredible, and I've just been waiting to hang it up. We have to buy nails. Apparently, we're not allowed to use command strips here at this apartment.
You think you would use command strips? They would let you use command strips before they would let you use nails.
You would think, and yet they specifically were like, no, literally use nails. And I was like, okay.
While I'm looking for her Instagram handle, we have the raw audio of Kate opening her present.
Yes.
We'll insert it here.
All right, ready?
No, I'm kind of excited.
I'm excited too. Okay.
This is my first birthday present of the day.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, happy birthday. Okay.
Because all my other presents were like early.
Right.
I didn't know where
right.
I'd be.
Yeah. All of the bows fell off.
This one didn't.
Fantastic. Open it.
Do you want to take a picture of me with it first?
Yeah.
Or you
I don't
like...
have my phone.
It's okay. Well,
I'll take a picture of me with it.
A frame.
A frame. Nothing
wow.
more.
That's what I've always wanted.
Okay. Okay. I'm so excited.
It's our house.
And look what's in the garden.
Carrots.
It's our house.
It's our house.
It's the tree, and it's got the.
I know.
And we've got our little mics in there.
And it's got the moon.
I know. I know.
This is all silence.
That's fine. Do you love it? I was so excited. I was so excited.
This is literally like the most thoughtful present I've ever had. Stop.
And I have the digital version too. I'll send to you. So you have a digital copy too.
This is so beautiful.
This is what my post the other day was. Of Kate, don't read this.
Don't read this.
I was looking for an artist. Did I do good?
It's going up on my wall immediately. Oh, I'm literally crying. You jerk. I wore makeup.
So did I.
Now okay, that you guys have heard that.
Yeah, so the artist is Amber Lou, and her Instagram is @artbyamberlou.
And we'll link that in our show notes.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll post it on our Instagram and we'll tag her. She was so easy to work with. She was fantastic to work with. She was great.
I have no idea about working with her, but the final product was absolutely stunning and incredible and the best.
So like also, I took a nap today. And so I think I'm probably the only person in the world who like taking a nap like completely fucks up. So that's what I'm under the influence of this week is taking a nap. Because I'm just going to be a nightmare through all of this. Sometimes Kate will be like, hey, do you want to hang out? And I'll be like, I can't. Sorry, I took a nap earlier. And she'll understand.
And I'll go, ah,
know what it means.
Say less.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Really, it's probably pretty bold of us to try and get through this, considering it is 22 pages.
Right. Which, like, I think we can try to do a longer episode if we can get through the recording of it.
We're very sorry about the audio, everyone. Sometimes life is hard.
True that.
Okay, cool. So this week we actually do have a bit of news that we wanted to talk about really quick.
Okay, go.
Which was our new friend that we received via social media this week. And by friend, I mean
buddy, old pal.
Pest, our good friend Tom.
Yeah.
If you follow us on any social media, I'm sure you saw M's glorious tweet about his quote.
No, I put him on full blast because this man, I felt very accomplished because if you missed it, this week we received, I want to say heckler is maybe the best word.
Listen, it started out innocently enough, okay? It just seemed like an elderly gentleman who was contacting us to let us know that he wasn't quite as into our podcast as he hoped to be, but he would be continuing to listen. And we were like a little weird, but maybe you're just
it was weird because he like specifically took the time out of his day to email us to tell us how well researched our was and that he really enjoyed when we went off script and let our personalities shine through, and then in the very next sentence said that we were an acquired taste.
Well, he said that we were potentially an acquired taste. He hadn't decided yet.
And that there was nothing compelling about our podcast.
And I'd first like to say, because I know that Tom is going to hear this, we don't have a script, Tom. We don't follow a script.
We don't have a script.
Thank you for the compliment about our research.
Entire episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for the compliment. But like, if you hated us this much and there was nothing compelling and we were an acquired taste, why did you listen to 9 episodes?
Well, and so that's the thing. He kept commenting as well.
He commented. So like, here's
the thing. Well, he commented on my Carla Homolka one first. So that's episode 22.
Yes, it seems like that might be the first one he listened to, because then he started at the beginning based on his comments.
Got it.
He listened to Carla Homolka and went all the way to Joel Rifkin and like just left comment after comment after comment. And I'm like,
and they weren't nice. They were kind of vague and, you know, at first, and then they slowly became very
maddening
white supremacy.
Yeah, it was definitely, Tom might be a Nazi. I don't know.
Listen, Tom, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but you seem to have particular hatred towards
people.
He was very upset about our opinions about the George Floyd case, because we don't believe that people deserve to die. And that made us bad people.
It sure did. He said, quote, you would choose, if you had the choice to live next to a black man or a police officer, you would pick the police officer 100 times. And I said, sir, you have me.
That is not correct.
You got me mixed up with someone else.
Yeah.
That is not correct.
He specifically was like, George Floyd was a drug addict and you would rather live next to the police officer, or whatever his name is.
Yeah. Oh, no, we don't say his name on this
podcast. I know,
podcast.
That's why I cut it off so I can cut it out and say whatever his name is.
Yeah.
But I disagree with you, Tom. I really
listen,
do.
Tom. I know you told us that you were going to stop listening, but I feel like that was a lie. And here's the thing, Tom. I mean this from of my heart. Go fuck yourself.
Truly.
No one cares about your opinions.
It's so true.
Your opinions are not welcome here.
He actually
stop
found
commenting
us
on our stuff. Stop
on an app
emails.
That we didn't know we were even a part of.
Yeah. He found us on an app that not only I had never, ever heard of, but also we did not know we were on that platform until he started commenting on it.
Yeah.
Oh, and me and this platform, we exchanged
some
words.
Oh, I saw
them.
I definitely read the emails. They came through at the end, I thought. They were kind of nice.
I spoke with like people. They did. They finally got at the end, but like they had to see like my manager voice, you know.
It was like the energy that M brought into the Best Buy until we realized.
I don't think we ever told the Best Buy story. Do you want to tell the Best Buy story?
We did tell the Best Buy story.
Did we?
Yes, absolutely. I refuse. Oh, and if we didn't, we'll get comments saying, what's the Best Buy story?
What's
so we'll
Best
have
Buy
one
story?
For next week. It's fine.
If you guys don't know the Best Buy story, I don't know if we've said it or not. Let us know if you want to hear about how I cried inside of a Best Buy.
Oh, and how she came in
anyway,
like guns blazing.
To go.
So anyway, we did want to just talk about Tom briefly. His energy was not appreciated, and therefore we hope that we won't hear from Tom again. Oh, and if you do share the opinions of Tom, we also just wanted to take a second and ask you to please go to our social media and just make sure that you're not following us. And you can also click the delete button on any platform if you think that Tom was in the right. So
yes, if you agree with Tom even for a half a second, goodbye.
Yeah, like that's okay. It's just not energy we wish to bring into our lives at this point.
We don't need any of that near us.
No, I'm not searching to add any racist followers who are going to comment their hateful rhetoric on our pages. So, you know, we just wanted to take a second to thank Tom for his brief visit to our squad, but he is no longer requested to return.
No, please leave us alone, Tom.
Please, Tom, no more. Anyway,
okay.
Saray will know. She'll message me and say, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, we're ready. Hey, Saray. Anyway, I think that was all the business that we had.
It was. We're sorry if you thought that that was negative, but we thought it was hilarious until it wasn't. So my trigger warning for this case this week is going to be abuse, sexual abuse, animal murder, regular murder, molestation, prostitution, pimping, prostitution of a child, violation of animals, rape, domestic abuse, necrophilia, shitty parents, homophobia, and suicide. And I'll try and add any more if I find them, but I think we should be good because I think that covered all of them. So yeah, let's go ahead and get onto the case. So this week we're going to be talking about Henry Lee Lucas. And Henry Lee Lucas was born on August 23rd, 1936 to literal garbage parents, Viola Nellie Lucas and Anderson No Legs Lucas in Blackburn, West Virginia. I knew you'd be laughing
have
at
you,
that.
Have you seen the movie Dodgeball?
Yes, I have. Anyway, fantastic. I'm glad you don't know anything about this case. It is a heckin' doozy, and I don't say that lightly because I don't write 22 pages for no reason. Hopefully this one is one of those ones that you still don't really know. So Henry was born into a large family, and he wasn't exactly wanted. His mother was a prostitute who beat every member of her family, and it didn't seem to matter what their age or anything about them was. Her husband, Anderson No Legs Lucas, originally did have legs, but he fell asleep during a drinking binge and stumbled onto train tracks where he slept until the train made his legs into little stumps. He would push himself around in a homemade wagon and a broomstick while Viola would have sex with her clients for approximately 10 cents in front of him.
Because she was a sex worker, right?
Yes. They basically, because I'm using quotes from Henry a lot. Yes. I'm using quotes from Henry. So he would just call her like an old prostitute most of the time. It was the 1930s. So they definitely did not have any political correctness in terms of sex worker. They were like, nah.
Right. So like, we'll make it clear that like, you're going to use that word as in quotes from people, but like the correct term is sex worker.
Correct. This meant that he had to get a different profession after he had his train accident. So he began selling alcohol illegally, and he himself was, in fact, an alcoholic.
Ah,
yes. Viola beat her children pretty intensely, and apparently she, like, wouldn't cook for them. So one time Henry tried to, like, sneak food from his dad's plate, and they beat him until he was unconscious.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so after that, they forced him to live in a chicken coop.
Also, like, I know we've said it before, but just for the benefit of the whole entire class, once again, you can feel bad for the child, and you can feel bad for the childhood, but, like, correct. When we show empathy towards his life, we're not showing empathy towards a serial killer or anything. Like, that's...
Like, he made choices as an adult, and this child didn't have any choices. So that's the one we feel bad for.
Right. Other people have lived through this and not murdered people, but he also wasn't given a super fair shot at life. So we can feel bad for what he went through, but we're not going to feel bad for him.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So like I said, he was forced to live in the chicken coop after that, and that was really, really detrimental to his health, as I'm sure everyone could assume. In the coop, he would gnaw on the planks, like the wooden planks, and this, you know, led to him ingesting quite a bit of lead, as well as the cadmium from the chicken's poop. So these things that he experienced, as well as the continuous hits to his head, contributed to his lower IQ that he had. And he also started school in these years. And I feel kind of bad because, like, listen, this is really shitty, all right? Anyone would feel bad for this kid. He started school, and apparently he smelled so freaking bad from the chicken coop that they sat him next to the window so they could have it open because they were like, we don't want to smell chicken shit all day. Like, you smell awful.
Well, and I feel bad because, like, if something like that was happening now, like, someone would step in and take them away.
So, like... I don't want to, like, be, like, oh, I mean, they kind of tried. Like, they were like, well, it's just Nellie and her cabin full of kids. There's no confirmed number of how many siblings he has. Depending on what source you look at, it could be 8. And other sources will say 30. Like, it's an obscene number of children. I'm sorry, 30? Correct. You heard that absolutely correct.
All right, Marianne.
Well, and that's the thing. So they were like, no one really knew who any of their fathers were, but Anderson was the one who like stepped up and was like, yeah, I'll pretend like all these are probably my kids. So that was kind of wild, you know. So because of this, the school did contact Viola. They were like, your kid smells like literal shit. Could you maybe like bathe him occasionally? So according to Henry, she dragged him down to the creek, stripped him naked, and started holding him underwater, washing him like so thoroughly and holding him down for so long that he thought he was going to drown. And then he also says that she molested him right here on the side of the lake and that she put him in a dress and said, since they want you to smell like a pretty girl, you can dress like one, and marched him to school like that. And he actually was like forced to wear dresses at school until eventually they did call and they were like, stop.
You heard? For those listening at home, now there's no squeaky toy noise, but I'm sitting outside, so that's what all the sound is from my end now.
Yeah, if you guys hear it. I honestly don't hear anything. It sounds
there's
a lot
one
better.
Cricket mocking me.
He said, oh, I know exactly what these bitches are doing. So she would force Henry to cross-dress after this pretty regularly because of how humiliated and uncomfortable he was. She loved that shit. And, like, I feel really bad because he was probably being pretty mercilessly bullied at school as well because, like, no one wanted to interact with him. Like, at first he smelled like chicken shit, and then he came back pretty clean, I'm assuming, but wearing a dress and just being all around socially awkward.
Which there's nothing wrong with that. It's here.
There's nothing wrong with it if you want to, but he didn't want to.
Right. He was being forced to.
So that's what I mean. Like, he was radiating uncomfortable energy. It wasn't who he was. It wasn't what he wanted. And people did not want to interact with him. Yeah, I didn't mean to make it sound like I had any problem with human beings wearing what they wanted, because I absolutely don't. But I do have a problem with parents forcing their children to wear what they want. So,
yeah, I agree.
Great. So, even his siblings actually avoided him because Viola was actually meaner when they would interact with him. So they basically were like, nah, we're going to stay away from Henry.
Yeah, because he's the problem in this specific scenario.
Correct. Like, he's the most hated one. Not sure why.
Great.
So Henry's first friend was a mule that he befriended. And the mule lived halfway between the Lucas cabin and school, and he would visit it every day and feed it, and they had a really nice bond. Henry called him. It's
so
his first friend.
Would you venture to say it was a half-ass? It was really funny.
I loved it. It was actually
more
pretty.
More compelling and less...
Oh, less of an acquired taste.
Yeah. So I texted Redacted, and I was like, Tom wanted me to warn you that I'm an acquired taste, just so you know.
Yeah, it's good. I'll let Kyle know tonight, hopefully.
We gotta let him know that there's very compelling about us.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. One day we can hopefully be up to Tom's standards, but it's not today.
Yeah.
You know who else isn't up to Tom's standards? The farmer that made Henry really happy when he gave him the mule because he no longer had any use for it. And he was like, man, this little kid really loves this mule. I don't need it anymore. He can have it. So
That's
he gave
so
it to
cute.
Him. I know, right? So Henry was like, oh yeah. And he was so pumped up and he walked that shit all the way home. And out comes Mama Lucas. And
I
she
don't
is
like that.
Not pleased. And she gets really mad and she starts screaming at Henry and yelling, why would you bring something like this home? And she goes back inside, and this is the trigger warning for everyone. And she comes back out with a rifle.
I don't wanna.
I know.
Unplug my headphones.
I totally respect that. And she looks little Henry in the eye as he's sitting next to his best friend the mule, and she shoots the mule in the face.
Oh,
and okay. Then she hits Henry again and says, great, now I have to pay someone to come haul this shit off. Look what you did. And she beats him until he's unconscious.
Oh, excuse me, Your Honor, that's really fucked up.
That is really fucked up. I also want to like explain that at this point this little boy is probably 7 years old, 6 or 7, and he was just covered in his best friend's blood in front of his mother because she's an asshole.
That's awful. That's, I don't like that shit at all. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Yes. So like I said, Henry's unconscious. So to punish him around this time, she would also make him wear the dresses and sit next to our good friend Anderson, no legs, Lucas,
He ain't got none of those legs.
In front of her bed while she had sex with clients. Oof. Henry was now also forced to watch. Yeah.
And how old was he at this point?
Seven. Maybe. Could still be six.
Okay.
But seven at the max.
Either way.
Because he's about to be 8 years old. So here we are at 8-year-old Henry, and he is told to go fix a fence. Okay. And he's out in these, like, this, by the way, to explain, like, Blackburn, Virginia to you, like, these guys, and it's 1930, like, it's 1944 at this point. Okay. So, like, it's not very, like, industrially advanced, if that makes sense. There's not a lot of infrastructure and, like, streets. Right. It's cabins and dirt roads, and there's no Wi-Fi anywhere. Okay. None of it. So, like I said, he's ordered to go fix this fence. So he's really far out in the, like, woods, like, in those, like, fixing those wire fences that everybody knows what we're talking about. You know what I mean? And so he's fixing this fence, and she yells for him because she has a client and she needs him in the room. She needs her audience, and he is not responding. So she gets really mad, and she starts screaming his name and running out to find Henry by the fence. While she's doing that, you know, she's like looking at the fence stuff, and she picks up a 2x4 and she sees little 8-year-old Henry fixing the fence. And instead of being a normal parent and being like, hey, I yelled for you, I didn't hear you, like, what's up? She swings the 2x4 as hard as she can, like a bat, into the back of his head. Henry dropped like a stone and he laid unconscious. And she went back inside and finished up with her client.
Jesus Christ.
Yep. Didn't go out there to help him. Didn't take him to a hospital. Nothing. He's still lying there. No one went and checked on Henry. They just, like, forgot about him. Everybody went to bed. And the next morning, Viola woke up mad that she hadn't found Henry. And she goes out and finds that he is still in the exact same position that he was 12 hours earlier when she hit him.
Oh, good Lord.
Yep.
Moved. Obviously.
Yep. Hasn't woken up.
He's fucking... Oh, my God.
Yep. This is, like I said, 12 hours later. She tried to yell, kick, and hit him, slapping him, trying to get him to wake up, but that obviously didn't work because he's hurt. And so she just had two of his older siblings drag him into the cabin and lay him in a corner.
Okay, that's what you do with an injury.
Yeah. So Henry spent 2 full days unconscious in that corner because nobody cared enough to take him to the hospital.
So it's now been almost 3 whole days since the injury originally happened?
2 full days in the corner, 12 hours outside in a field. And finally, Viola's pimp, who they call Uncle Bernie, insisted that he take Henry to the hospital, and he put him in the back of his truck and drove him to the hospital. To the disbelief of doctors, Henry was still alive, despite being in, like, a legitimate coma. They were able to save his
life. That's pretty bad, but, like,
out of all those people
that were there, it was the pimp that was like, hey, let's take him to seek medical attention.
Yeah. The pimp was like, look, I mean, I know y'all don't want to do it, so, like, I'll drive, but, like, can I take him? And they're like, yeah, I guess. I'm kind of surprised she let him go, like, low-key. She just seems horrible like that.
Yeah, seems like she just really didn't care. Like, he was surprised.
Yeah, so like you said, the doctors save his life, and they start asking him about the abuse. They're like, you're really hitting the head of the 2x4, living in all this, like, garbage. Like, what's up? But he was so disoriented. He didn't understand what they were saying. He wasn't, like, communicating. And his mom was able to, like, weave a story to make it seem like it had all been an accident. So she was allowed to take him home. Luckily, Uncle Bernie convinced her that she couldn't beat Henry like that again. So she, like, really chilled out with him. Unfortunately, he had seizures after this because she literally scrambled his fucking brain like eggs.
He had a brain injury.
Literally. They also, though, this, because she was, like, being nicer to him, let his siblings start interacting with him and not getting the shit beaten out of them when they would. So they, you know, started hanging out with Henry and including him in their fun.
Oh, well, considering the rest of the story, that seems dangerous.
Correct. Unfortunately for Henry, because this meant at 10 years old the next year, the Lucas children would be playing with knives, which was pretty common for them. They were play fighting, I guess. And Henry lunged at his brother at the same time that his brother had, like, stabbed his pocket knife, like, in the air. And it went directly into Henry's eye.
Oh.
And so, like,
just this normal kid stuff.
Yeah. Henry said he felt his eyeball pop And that, ew. Like, yep, I know, I'm so sorry. And that, like, all the, like...
Eyebrow things are the, like, the thing that makes me, like, the, like, that's the one thing I can't handle. Like, there's that, that story of, like, those two sisters who were, like, basically, like, live-in housekeepers. Mm-hmm. And they, like, snapped and, like, dug their eyeballs out. That's the only time I've ever had to pull over while listening to a podcast.
Well, I hated that.
I can't do eye stuff.
Yeah.
I can't do eye stuff.
Well, so, like I said, his eye is, like, gone now. Like, he felt it pop. All of it was, like, dribbling down his face. Nasty. So, he runs inside and good mother that she is looks at him and says, and this is a quote, and I love this quote, ain't nothing to be done about it now. Just don't be stupid again.
Okay.
I just think that's really on brand for what we've learned so far.
There was ways to not only avoid this, but also to do about it. But okay.
Yeah.
Did he lose his eye?
Yeah. It was gone. He was like he had a rusty
knife and it's like still on the knife.
Is no. When they stabbed it in, his eyeball around it popped. Like all of it
out. Stop saying it.
Sorry.
Stop
you asked for clarification. So he ain't got no eye now. And miraculously, it didn't get infected. Don't know how, because like I said, 1944, Dirty Creek, clean in the eye wound. Not a good situation. So no one offered him medical attention. It was cleaned.
Well, after he sat there with a brain injury for 3 days, I really thought they would be on top of medical help. So
I know. Well, and it was clean to 1949 dirt floor cabin standards. So
yeah.
You know, and somehow it didn't get infected until later that same year in 1946, a teacher threw a ruler at a boy sitting behind Henry, and she missed so badly it landed directly in Henry's eye socket and stuck there. And apparently she just pulled it out and kept teaching.
Oh.
Unfortunately, that did make his eye infected. And for the rest of his life,
he would have
milky tears come out of the socket. Yeah, I thought you'd like that. So, okay, I just want to clarify, by the way, like, this is not a factual story necessarily. All of these, like, accounts are coming from Henry. So while it seems like he had, like, the childhood from hell, he also is a compulsive liar. So let's just also remember that as we proceed into the rest of the tale.
Great.
Okay, great. So he definitely lost his eye around 10. The school photos prove this to be certain. And in 1949, Henry was 13, and he began his adolescent years and puberty. He's starting puberty. And now I'm sure everyone is wondering, why am I talking about the puberty of Henry Lee Lucas, especially M, I'm sure. But
I sure am.
I'm here to tell you. It's because Henry admits that his puberty was nightmarish, in the sense that his first sexual encounter was not with a human, but with a squirrel.
What?
And rabbits.
Hold on.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Okay. You should all know that I spoil you by not telling you the details that Em and I have to know.
Oh, no, I'm nauseous now. I'm nauseous.
I'm sorry. So that being said, like I said, he would find animals living or freshly dead, do his thing. Disgusting. I'm sorry. It's part of the story.
It's so gross.
I know.
Jesus.
And in 1950, M's favorite character of this story would die, Anderson No Legs Lucas.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there's some discrepancies on, like, what actually happened, so I'll give you guys both theories. So some people are like, no, this is literally just another one of Anderson No Legs drinking accidents, because he literally ends up dragging himself outside in the middle of a blizzard and just freezing to death.
Oh.
And so then other people think that this is his attempt at, like, a crude attempt at suicide because he hated Viola so much. So
I would also kill myself if I was married to Viola.
Yeah.
But there's got to be better ways than freezing to death.
Listen, my man ain't got no legs. He's not got a lot of options. His bucket can't take him that much further than the door. Well, so like I said, they find him in the morning and they take him to the hospital. It doesn't help. He dies of hypothermia a couple days later.
Well, yeah.
Listen.
Did he die of no legs?
Yes. So this actually didn't upset Henry or any of the Lucas family in the slightest. He'd had a terrible relationship with both of his parents, and it just was another thing in his life. I saw some sources where they said that Anderson had been, like, the only one to show Henry kindness. And I don't know if this was, like, true or anything, but he definitely stood by while he watched his kids suffer horrific abuse, and he never did or said anything. And he also suffered abuse, so, like, I know, but also... children. So, you know. So this is when he decided to start hitting the dating scene, you know?
Oh, wow. Wow, what a lucky girl is out there waiting for you, man.
Yes, sir. That same year, you know, his dad died. He turned 14 and he got his own car, which he paid for himself. And are you ready to know how he got that money? So he got this money from stealing from local homes.
Oh.
Yeah, good old Henry. And this is when he decided, like I said, to hit the dating scene. He wasn't as gross and disgusting as we know him to be now. And he was actually, you know, able to convince women to go out with him to a certain extent, but no one wanted to sleep with him. Women not wanting to sleep with him was something that Henry cites as what encouraged him to commit his first murder.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, women owe men to sleep with them and...
And not make them murderers, correct.
Right, yeah. It's our job as women to sleep with every man just so that they don't commit brutal, violent murders.
Correct. So this particular event I'm about to talk about is what Henry credits as his first human sexual act, discounting what he said his mother did at the lake when he was a child. So Henry says he picked up a local chick and drove her out to a makeout spot.
A local chick?
Yep, at my friend's.
Oh my
is a
God.
Quote. So Henry says he tried to get the, quote, local chick to have sex with him, and she said no, because that is her right as a human being. And she began yelling, which really pissed him off. He says he started to strangle her until she stopped moving, and then he just removed all of her clothing and had sex with her still warm body.
Ew.
Yeah.
Because she said no, thank you. This is... Tom would love this.
Tom would love this. Tom, where you at, buddy? So, which obviously this is disgusting and horrible, but there hasn't actually been a case that was confirmed or connected as like this person. A podcast I listened to where I got most of my information from because they did an awesome job. They had a ton of information and they also separated a lot of the fact versus fiction on the bullshit that Henry like did. It kind of like pointed out this crime, you know, it would have been reported. It would have not been quiet. Like he couldn't have just gone off with some local girl and then she never came back. Like that's suspicious.
And like no one.
Right. Like no one reports anything missing. Nobody. Yeah. So a name was tossed around a couple of places like Murderpedia and findagrave.com. And they seem to be pretty sure that the girl was Laura Burnley. But it's
findagrave.com is so cool, by the way.
Yeah. It was my first interaction with it. This one was.
I'm on there a lot. Sometimes my gram is just like, can I give you a name of someone and you tell me what cemetery they're at? And I'm like, sure can, Grams.
Who said love doing this? I think that Grams keeps a yearbook in her closet and she slowly adds X's along with the cemetery that they're at once she asks you.
My grandma would like keep a hit list. I'm pretty sure it was a hit list.
And it definitely was a hit list.
Of just people who were dying. Yeah. She really wanted to be the last one surviving, which I thought was fun.
It wasn't a bad goal.
I fuck with it.
So like you said, Laura Burnley is potentially this girl, but it's just someone who's reported to have died around this time. So it could fit the story, but also potentially could not. He said he had sex with her and then he drove her deep into the woods and disposed of her body in a shallow grave that he then covered up and just moved on with his life.
Chelsea and I had to dig a hole for a goat. And I don't understand how people can dig holes for people because we only had to dig a hole for a goat and it almost killed.
Yeah, it's like pretty low. And if you do it correctly, you know, it should be at least like 6 feet deep. That's why these shallow graves are found so easily. Anyway,
right.
No investigation is recorded about it, but Lucas is the only person who, you know, has any information. So like I said, according to findagrave.com, Laura Burnley died in March of 1951. So maybe, but there isn't really any more info about it. It doesn't say like homicide or anything like that. So unclear. In 1954, Henry is arrested for local burglaries. There were over a dozen that he was being arrested for, and he was actually sentenced for this. He received 4 years in juvenile hall for boys, which is a really lenient sentence, by the way, because they took into account that he was only 17 at the time of his arrest and sentencing. And it was more of like a reform school, which was looking to reshape the lives of these young, wayward boys with discipline.
That works.
Yeah. So Virginia Industrial School for Boys was 200 miles away from Blacksburg, and they did close permanently in 2017. Not sure why. Heard they were shitty. Henry did not enjoy.
Oh, also, like, I didn't say that to mean like reform doesn't work. I just mean like look at the Elon school. You know?
He said reform works, but not in this case, damn.
Not that way.
Henry didn't last very long at this school. He was only there for a little while. He was considered really disruptive and disobedient and not learning any of their values or lessons. And he was, quote, called a boy gone feral.
Okay. Yeah. You know that the boy from the brother from Wild Thornberries?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was that.
Correct.
Oh, Wild Thornberrys is such a good show.
That's such a good... Do you remember, like, the Wild Thornberrys crossover with the Rugrats?
Do I remember it? I have the VHS. It's on Disney Plus. Oh, stop it right now. All right.
Yeah. So was Rugrats in Paris.
I did know that one, actually. I watched that one recently.
Oh, it's such a 10 out of 10.
Henry only stayed there for a month before he escaped and went back home to Blacksburg. When he arrived back at his house, he stumbled upon one of his nieces from a half-sister, and he immediately took her out behind the chicken coop and raped her. She was only 12.
Stumble upon that.
She was outside, and he got home, and no one was outside with her.
Okay.
She was only 12, and she had been placed in his mother's care when the older sister needed help with her, and he told her that if she told anyone, he would slit her throat.
Oh.
So she was quiet, just like he wanted her to be. The next day, however, the local sheriff turned up because obviously, Henry, you just left in a reform school. You went home, stupid. They know where you're gonna go.
Literally.
So he wasn't returned to the boys' school, though, since he had, like, escaped it or whatever. He was taken to Virginia State Penitentiary in Richmond. And to everybody's dismay, he loved prison. He didn't have to go to school. He had a bed, hot meals, no reform bullshit, and his mom wasn't beating the absolute shit out of him every single day, which I could see where that would be a perk.
Right. And honestly, just leave him in prison and let him stay there.
I know, it was like he was having a good time, just leave him be. So the doctor there even had Henry fit with a glass eye, which he would wear forever. He gained weight, he was getting laid pretty regularly. He didn't like to sleep with men if he had other options, but he basically seemed like a whatever's close and whatever's warm kind of guy.
He was a little fruity.
When it was necessary, yes. So he always said he preferenced women, but at the end of the day, he was fine with whatever was warm and whatever was nearby. And it didn't matter if it was freshly dead. It was fine too. He loved prison. He made friends. No, it's gross. It's not the happy part of the story. He loved prison. He made a lot of friends, and he actually learned tips and tricks from the other prisoners for committing crimes when he got out. He learned how to fight, how to con, and how to talk to women. And he started pen palling with women in the prison pen pal system.
I will never understand, like, prison pen pal systems. Like, for, like, rapists and murderers, they don't get to talk to people.
Well, I don't understand why the women are just like, this is fine.
I don't understand it.
Well, anyway. Yeah, it doesn't get better from here out, so. He started pen palling, like I said. So at 23, when he was released, he decided not to go back home. Instead, he went to Tecumseh, Michigan, where one of his older half-sisters, Opal, was living. And he realized he could hook up with one of the women he had been contacting with, named Stella. She was apparently not much of a looker. That's a quote. And she was a heavy drinker, but she wasn't abusive, and she liked Henry, and, you know, she would have sex with him, which was always a plus for him.
No one likes Henry.
Stella liked Henry.
I don't like Stella.
He planned on marrying her. He even proposed that winter, which she accepted. And when he told Opal, she was so happy, and the next day she started telling everybody in the Lucas clan. And then soon, word got back to Viola. And that was not good anymore. She didn't know that Henry had even been released, and she thought he should come home and take care of her and not be doing his own shit, because she was getting pretty old, and she wasn't turning tricks anymore, because nobody wants to hang out with an abusive woman who's gonna, like, yell at you.
Like, dude, you didn't take care of him. Why would he come and take care of you?
Yeah. So naturally, she bought a bus ticket to Michigan to go see her favorite son. When she got there, Opal told her that Stella and Henry were at a bar, and instead of just waiting for Henry, she went nutter butters, and she got her ass over to that bar to yell at little Henry. She ran in already yelling about how no woman would want to marry him, not after she found out about the rabbits and the squirrels and the fact that he raped his 12-year-old niece. I don't know how.
She knew about it?
I have no idea how. No idea how she knew. No one knows how she knew. But she was like holding on to it. And so I'm not saying she's making bad points though, Stella. Maybe take
no. That. Yeah. She's not lying, but why didn't you stop it when it was happening and not hold on to it for years?
Right? So then she started to beat the fuck out of Henry in front of everyone. And when Stella tried to defend Henry, which I don't know why, like, girl, you just heard that shit. She, like, his mom, like, turned and started beating the fuck out of Stella.
Oh, right.
Yeah, she's, like, screaming obscenities the whole way. And soon a bouncer pulls her off and kicks her out. And when Henry tried to check on Stella, she shoved him away and said she couldn't be with someone who had a mama that violent and mean and who was a fucking monster.
So you couldn't be with someone who had a mom like that, but you can be with someone who... Okay.
Yep, that part was fine. Okay, Stella, I literally have in the next bullet point it wasn't the squirrels and shit, question mark. But I go off.
We don't kink shame, however.
I was like, that's wrong, but whatever. So Henry was no longer engaged, and his mom was once again to blame for his unhappiness. He went home much later than his mom. He actually closed out the bar, drinking away his sorrows. And when he went home, he says he went to bed. And this is once again a quote from Henry, who says that he woke up in the middle of the night to his mother attacking him. And I don't really doubt that, because she's insane. So, like, maybe. But he said she was beating him with the broom handle so hard it broke, and then she started hitting him with her hands. And then he says he lost control and swung his pocket knife that he happened to have in his hand, and it accidentally jammed into her neck. Anyway.
Is he just sleeping with an open pocket knife?
Apparently. Unclear, but maybe.
Just ready to swing, which, like, my paw, if you would wake him up, he would wake up swinging.
And you're like,
I get that.
Was that the man who built everything in his home out of horseshoes?
No, that was my grandpa. That was, the horseshoe one was my dad's grandpa. My pa is my mom's dad. And we would just, like, he would fall asleep on the couch, and we would stand at the end of the couch and just scream, wake up, pa, as loud as we could so that we could see him come up swinging. Oh, it was hilarious.
He said, no one give that man a knife.
No.
So, like I said, it slashes her neck and she falls down bleeding to death because he actually hit an artery, and Henry tore out and drove back to Blacksburg. Opal didn't come check on her mom that night. And I think personally that that was like, she's like, nah, I'm not stupid enough to go fuck with my mom when she's in one of her moods. Like, I don't hate myself. And I'm like, I respect that, Opal. I respect your choices. So she decided not to check on her until the next morning. Unfortunately, you know, her mom was in a puddle of her own blood. Opal called the ambulance, but Violet...
Unfortunately!
I know. I was like, I'm just being nice. Stop.
We have to be nice to the
dead. No one deserves to die, Lisbon. No one deserves to die, Joe. That one was my favorite. Oh, so good. Anyway, she dies of a heart attack, though, not from the knife stab wound, because apparently from all the blood loss, she was like, ah, my heart. I know.
Ah, my heart!
A warrant is put out for Henry, and he was actually almost immediately captured. Like, it was kind of pitiful. He was sentenced a lot longer than he was the first time, but this time he didn't have to worry about what, you know, his mom would do if he got out.
So was he charged with, like, her murder?
Yeah. He would be sentenced to second-degree murder and 20 to 40 years for it. You know, apparently he didn't like this second visit as much as he liked the first one, because this one didn't have an end in sight, especially. And he was also being haunted by the vision of his dead mother, calling him names and abusing him mentally from beyond the grave.
Okay.
I need, like, that part. She would berate him for killing her, and he, like, really seemed shook up about it. And his mom told...
She wasn't a fan of the stabbing.
Yeah, well, she'd, like, come back in, like, visions to him, be like, what kind of boy kills his mother? And I'm like, that's pretty good. I like it.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So he says his mom began telling him to kill himself, which he did attempt. His first attempt was unsuccessful because of how he tied the rope. So he didn't snap his neck. He just became unconscious, and he wasn't hurt badly enough for them to really even feel free or feel the need to report the incident. The second attempt, however, 2 months later, went a lot better for him, but it wasn't successful because of how quickly a guard found him.
That's
this one
unfortunate.
Was
Let
reported, and he was transferred to Ionia State Mental Hospital. So he went to this mental hospital, and he received therapy, which I was like, good, that man needs therapy. Unfortunately, he did also receive electroshock therapy for his delusions about his mom, and that doesn't help anybody, so, you know. He was assigned a job in the filing room, and it gave him access to some of the worst offenders in the state, like their files, and he was able to study their crimes. It also told him how they were caught, what failed them in the prison system, and, like, what they did in their crimes. And he studied hard for 10 years. And then, you know, he studied how to avoid getting caught by moving from one state to another, using different methods, destroying the bodies, avoiding patterns. He was able to study these files for over a decade until he was released early due to overcrowding just one day before his birthday in 1970.
Like, I am all for, like, people being able to study in prison, like, to, like, better their lives when they get out. I feel like the law and, like, how to get away with murder should not be a book that is accessible to them.
Correct. Well, he wasn't allowed
to read these files. I'm not a criminal.
This asshole was just like, fuck y'all confidentiality. I'm reading it. And so, like I said, he's released. And look, I understand why releasing prisoners apparently, like, you know, occasionally has to happen. I understand overcrowding exists. Maybe we don't pick violent offenders. Maybe we pit people who were in jail. Like, my job, we talk about, like, they take donations and stuff. It's, like, the last prisoner project because they're trying to get people who are in for, like, minor marijuana offenses out of jail. But, like, when we're releasing murderers.
Prisons wouldn't be overcrowded if they were used how they should be used for.
And that's on that. So, like I said, it's a mistake. They shouldn't, you know, release people who are on violent crimes such as matricide. Bro, you killed your mom. You have no boundaries. Like, so according to Henry, while he was still in sight of the mental hospital, he stole a car and used it to lure two young girls with the promise of alcohol. He got them both drunk before he strangled them.
He didn't even have any time to just chill after prison. He just really went for it.
He said, YOLO.
Truly.
So he got them drunk, he strangled them, had sex with their bodies, and dumped them into the woods. And this is what he spent the foreseeable future doing, as well as couch hopping from family members that would let him, which is kind of surprising considering they did know that he murdered their mom. Like, that was just fine. He would overstay his welcome or get kicked out because they were pretty sure he was molesting their kids. And I'm just going to go ahead and let you guys know there was a 100% chance that was happening. Like, I don't doubt that at all.
He was. Like, I don't understand. That's why I don't understand why people are like, oh, Ted Bundy's so hot. First of all, no, he's not. Second of all, he killed a bunch of people.
And also, he's a necrophile. Like, y'all, that's disgusting. Yeah.
One of my exes thought that Ted Bundy was innocent.
That is not correct. Not
correct. Anyway, that's besides the point. That's just fucked up.
That is fucked up. Excuse me, Your Honor?
That's fucked up. Anyway, I don't get it. Like, shit, you don't get the ick from that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, listen.
I get the ick if they don't listen to fucking podcasts or, like, use subtitles or, like.
Same. That one's a hard one.
Like, what?
I'm deaf. I literally am like, no, we can't do this.
No, it just sounds like gibberish.
It sounds like nothing. I'm like, this is not.
Genuinely.
So this is, like I said, I know. So like I said, this is on brand for Henry. I don't doubt this at all. He is assaulting children. And once you have the full story of Henry Lee Lucas, because he's really gross and consistently gross, especially when it comes to young girls, you guys are also going to be like, yeah, I also believe that he did that. That's just how it is. In 1971.
He was really gross.
Literally. In 1971, Henry would be picked up for the attempted kidnapping of a 15-year-old. He tried to tell her that her boyfriend sent him to pick her up, and naturally, she literally ran right the fuck home and called the police.
Good.
They found him with a handgun, which violated his parole, and he went back for 4 more years. He once again used the prison pen pal system, and he met his main squeeze, Betty, from Maryland.
Mary from Maryland, what are you doing?
It's Betty.
Oh. Mine was better.
Yours was better. I liked it. But he really likes Betty, okay? He really
plans on
seeing her once he gets out. In 1975, he does that. Takes a bus to Maryland when he's released, and he stays on the couch of a cousin who lived nearby. He meets up with Betty, and they actually marry happily. He's particularly delighted with Betty's 3 young daughters. Everything seemed okay at first until Betty noticed that her daughters no longer liked having attention doted on them like they had originally by their new stepdad.
I wonder what happened.
Wonder no longer. She found blood on the sheets of one of her girls, and she finally sits down with them and asks what's going on with them and Henry. They confirm that he's been molesting them, and to the absolute credit of Betty, when he gets home, she tells him to get the fuck out. And this was in, like, 1975, okay? So, like, she was like, nah, I ain't dealing with your shit. Get out of my house. I'm impressed.
Good for her. However, you did know before going into this that he was a rapist and a murderer.
Not good dude. Yeah. Yeah, that was.
But I do respect it. All right.
Unfortunately, however, she did give him 2 options. Leave and never come back and be done with it. or not leave and have her call the police. However, I think she should have just called the police regardless because, Betty, that's fucked up. So,
excuse me, Your Honor?
That's fucked up. So this was 2 years after their marriage, and for his while, his whereabouts are really hard to trace. He did go to West Virginia in 1978 based on hospital records, and he began dating a woman named Rhonda until molestation allegations popped up once again from her family, and he had to dip. He actually dipped because he heard a lynch party was being formed for him, and he actually dipped to Florida, Jacksonville specifically. This is where he would meet 31-year-old Otis Toole in a soup kitchen. Okay, so while we didn't say this at the beginning because we really didn't intend for it to be, it looks like based on how much paper and words I have left to say that it might be best for this. Yeah,
we're like barely even halfway done. So.
Yeah, so we've gotten about 11 pages covered. We've got 11 more, and there's so much more to the story, and I want to give it its justice so you guys have all the information. So I think we are going to make this a two-parter.
Yes. But which, so it's a lot of two parties in a row. Typically, we wouldn't do this. We really wanted to give you guys a longer episode, but due to circumstances, we're going to just stop. But, so this is coming out Thursday, hopefully. Part Correct. Two will be up on Sunday, so you guys won't Yes. have to wait very long.
Correct. We're trying to get out faster than we normally would.
And I won't take a nap on Sunday, so it'll be a little...
The energy will be fire.
Precisely.
Yeah. But yeah, we do want to do two parts. That way we can give you guys, you know, a compelling episode and make
and
sure.
Because this is, Kate really killed it with the research on this case. There's a lot.
I went down the deepest rabbit hole I possibly could have.
Yeah. And so we're absolutely here for it. So we'll give you a two-parter, and then I'm going to give you guys a little bit longer of an episode next week that's not a two-parter, just to kind of as a little treat.
A little treat from us to yeah. you. And then we're going to mix up your sound waves a little bit with some interesting stuff coming up. Yes. So just like keep that in the background of your mind that there is
yes, going
to be a couple interesting episodes. So stay tuned.
Yes, we have a lot of fun stuff planned. And
we're
I'm very excited. We're going to switch it up.
A little different for a week or so. We believe yeah. that everyone deserves a break in life, and this is coming at a time when we need one. So
absolutely. So,
and it's going to be an interesting episode. You guys are going to have so much freaking fun. You have no idea what you're in store for.
Honestly. Like, so no not idea. Only after this, is it the next episode?
It's not the next one. So this is going to be our two-parter. We'll release one regular one, one of mine, and then it should be the next one. If I'm doing my math correctly.
Something like that.
But I just wanted you guys to know that something really exciting is coming. Something we're very, very excited about.
We have lots of big plans. So just hold on through this two-parter. And then in a couple weeks, we're going to have some really big stuff coming. You guys are going to be so excited. Yeah. So I'm pretty pumped up.
Yeah. It should be fun.
But yeah. So we, like I said, we'll release part two on Sunday. And
we're putting it in here
so
we're accountable for it.
Right. And hopefully, I know some people are weird with two parts, but definitely come back. Because this story definitely gets a lot more interesting with the addition of Otis. So.
And more convoluted. Don't forget that, everyone. This is a wild tale from start to finish.
Listen, we've got to give you two parts just because, you know, if we gave you too long of an episode,
we don't want you to.
You know, we're an acquired taste.
We're just not very compelling, so.
No, so we don't want to have to, like, sit here and listen forever.
You know, we just want to give you a little bit of break from us, you know? Thank you for that advice, Tom. We really are taking it into your consideration.
We are. We took it to heart.
We did.
We sure did.
But we appreciate everybody who has been coming back consistently and giving us feedback and leaving good notes and good vibes everywhere. That's been awesome.
I don't know if you saw, but one day last week or the week before, we had 263 listens in one day.
Oh, snap.
So, like, yeah.
Okay, babies. I see you. That makes our hearts feel really happy. I hope you
guys collecting know. Murder friends like they're fucking Pokemon cards.
Oh, give me the collection. Wanna call
hell yeah.
I gotta catch them all.
Gotta catch them all.
So, like I said, this wasn't intended to be a two-parter, but we got some fun stuff coming up for you. So hopefully you'll forgive us. Absolutely. And also, this case, he is known as, he was considered for some time to be the most prolific serial killer in American history. He's known as the confession killer because he's confessed to so many crimes.
Right. We have a lot of land to cover still.
Babies. He's only killed one person so far. Well, known. Yeah. Confirmed.
Next episode is going to be so great. Until then, you can follow our Instagram.
At Under the Influence of True Crime.
You can join our Facebook group.
At Under the Influence of True Crime.
You can follow our Twitter.
At Under True Crime.
Yep. And you can send us an email.
At Under the Influence of True Crime. @gmail.com.
Unless you're Tom, then please don't email us again.
Yeah, honestly, Tom, no more communication anywhere. And don't like our Instagram photos, you creep.
Also, you can rate, review, and subscribe.
Anywhere you listen to your podcast, and we'd love to hear from you, unless you're Tom.
Unless you're Tom, then we don't want to hear from you anymore, Tomothy.
Shut up, Tom.
And you know what else you can do? Join us right back here next week for some more spooky tales.
Bye. Sneezed so hard you missed it.